Hey, church, so good to see you this morning. I know this is not exactly how we would like to be doing worship this morning, but I praise God for the opportunity that we have to worship together. You know, God is still on the throne. God is still at work, and I am so excited that we get to continue today in our Thinking Faith series. You know, as we have been going through this, we've been talking about how our thinking or how our faith should be impacted by how we think about our stress and depression and all kinds of different things. Well, what an amazing series of events that we have found ourselves in over these last couple of weeks, where stress has been coming from the CDC and from Facebook and every other news agency. Some of us have been feeling depressed by the fact that we can't get out of our homes because we have to stay where we are. Listen, what I want to do today is take everything that we've been talking about so far, and I want to take that just another step further, and that is to work around this question. That is, how should our thinking be impacted by our faith in regard to the pandemic that we're going through right now? Like, in the midst of today, like, how should our thinking be impacted by our faith? And so we're going to go through and look at how we respond to all of this and even how we should respond, how some people in God's Word responded to some stressful and difficult times. And ideally, even in your living room, even wherever you are, you're going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord this morning. And so before we jump into that, pause with me for just a moment of prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for your presence here with us, even right now. Lord, I recognize that you and your Holy Spirit are moving. And Lord, it is my desire to join with you in what it is that you are desiring to say right now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, Father. That your message would be proclaimed even now. That you would give us the courage to say yes to you. Even though everything feels weird about this, God, help us to hear your voice and respond by faith to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, as we have been getting into this whole pandemic and everything and figuring out, you know, what coronavirus even is and all the issues with it, it's funny. There's really been kind of two groups of people that have responded to this whole coronavirus issue, right? So you've got one group of people who says, you know what? You should just hunker down. You should just make sure you kind of quarantine yourself and everything. Don't be around anybody else. And so if we all do this for just a couple of weeks and everything, then nothing will happen, and that'll be great. And then there's another group of people. And that group of people says, you know what? Like, I'm not going to let this coronavirus keep me from living my life. Like, I'm not going to let anything. So, you know what? I've got faith in God, and so I can just trust and believe that he's going to keep me safe and he's going to keep me healed, and I can just go do whatever it is I want to do. And what I find interesting about this is that, as we tend to do in America, particularly in regard to politics and now even in regard to our medical care, we find ourselves on these two poles, and almost sort of arguing for our side, like which one is right. I just want to start out by saying, first of all, and actually let me read a couple of verses of scripture here. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, really powerful word. A lot of you have probably seen this verse on Facebook already. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I want you to know, those words are true. And it's so important for us to realize that, because even beyond just this, the sickness itself, let me just give recognition to the fact that there's a lot of things that are being affected by all that's going on in the news. Like, I know of people that have lost jobs already. I know of people that have lost hours at jobs already. Obviously, kids are home from school. Everything in life is different. And for some reason, like, for some of us, we might be thinking, you know what, you feel the discouragement. You feel like, oh man, how, if I've lost my job, how am I going to find a new job if everybody else is looking for a new job too? Like, how in the world is all this going to happen? I want you to know God's word is true. You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be discouraged. God is able to hold on to you and to bring you through in a powerful and mighty, mighty way. But just because you take extra measures not to get sick, like, that doesn't mean that fear is ruining your life, right? Just because you don't shake hands with somebody, that doesn't mean that that you're letting fear win. Just because you choose to cough in your elbow rather than out to the world, that doesn't mean that that you don't actually have faith in God. Just like on the other side, just because you, even if you aren't taking extra measures to keep yourself from getting sick or allowing your life to be changed in one way or another, allowing your schedule to be changed or anything like that, just because you aren't doing those things, that also doesn't mean that your faith is any greater than anybody else's. Let me turn to another word of scripture here that I think will probably give us some good insight here. In Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42, it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Let me be clear in this. I'm not trying to call anybody a hypocrite. I'm not trying to call anybody names or anything like that. But what I do think that is really important is for us to recognize that fear in all of its variety will cause us to look at others and assign blame. Right? Oh, well, it's China's fault, or it's the airport's fault, or it's the president's fault, or it's the fault of the people who keep showing up in public places, or it's the fault of the people. Like, fear in all of its variety will cause us to look at other people and assign blame, but faith will cause us to look at ourselves and see how we are best positioned to share God's love with others. Right? That is the whole faith versus fear message that I want you to hear today. It's not just a matter of allowing fear to force you into this decision making where it has to be, it's either my fault or it's their fault, and it can't be my fault, so I better blame them. What if instead we actually looked at this through the eyes of faith and said, you know what, I am positioned right now in a place where I can actually show people the love of Jesus Christ like I never have before. Like, watch this. Because of the fact that we can't be together, we have to get creative about how it is that we're showing love to one another. And so, what if we stopped allowing fear to drive what isn't working? Maybe our faith might actually show us how we could drive the love of Jesus to everyone around us. See, our faith ought to impact how we think about others during this whole pandemic. Our faith ought to drive us not to blame others for what the problem is, but to actually look to others to see how we can serve them, how we can love them, how we can encourage them, how we can bless them, how we can speak hope and truth and life into their lives. Along those lines, let me jump into this next part here. We're actually going to go back to the book of Jonah for this one. It's real. I love the story of Jonah because it's so opposite of what you probably learned in Sunday school, like the real story here, right? But we know in general that the basic story is, you know, Jonah, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. I need you to speak a word into Nineveh, right? And he says, no way, I'm going the other way. And so he gets on this boat and he's on his way. And then sure enough, the storm comes up. And the only thing that the people on the ship can do is throw Jonah overboard. That's the only way the waves will stop. Jonah goes over and he gets swallowed by a big fish. And what's interesting is in chapter 2, while Jonah is in the belly of this fish, he prays. Now, let me just read the first couple of verses from this prayer here. So again, Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." Now I got to be honest with you. Like, if I'm going to find myself in the belly of a fish, that is not what's coming out of my mouth. Right? Like, if I'm in the belly of a fish, I am probably going to be crying out, "Oh, no, I'm about to die. What's about to happen? I can't believe that God came and swallowed me up with a fish." Like, I am going to be losing my ever-loving mind, wondering how it is I'm going to get myself out of this fish and everything. Jonah, in some way, has the presence of mind to recognize that if he finds himself in the belly of a fish, that God had to be in it. And as God was in it, he just realized, you know what? I got to pray. Now, here's what's amazing about this. And I think, I know I miss this when I read this sometimes, but this is what we have to notice. He is still in the belly of the fish when he says, "God has answered me, and he heard my voice." Like again, if this is me in here, I'm thinking, oh, there's no way God's going to hear me now. I've been swallowed by this fish. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to do anything good for him. Oh, I've been swallowed by this fish. There's no way my life is ever going to be okay again. I've been swallowed by this fish. But Jonah, in the belly of this fish, says, "God has answered me, and he's heard my voice." See, what we would see as a problem, Jonah actually saw as an opportunity to see God's provision. Jonah recognized that where he was actually a blessing from God. It was not the place where he would have wanted to be in the end, but he recognized that being in the belly of the fish did not mean that God wasn't there. And because God was there, like there were still infinite possibilities were still among him, or were still available to him. He recognized that what might appear to be a problem, that i.e. being stuck in the belly of a fish, was actually an opportunity for God to provide for him in his life. What if there are other problems around us that are actually opportunities to see God's provision? What if the problem of being stuck in your house right now is actually the opportunity to spend some time, some real time, growing closer to the Lord? What if the problem of your kids not being in school right now is actually an opportunity for you to begin discipling them intentionally, not just hoping that the church will do it, or hoping that the school will be nice enough, or hoping that their friends will, or just praying that they'll just find a way? But what if this is the opportunity that God is giving you to actually stand up and be a disciple maker in your own home? Like what if the problem is the opportunity that you have in front of you? See, our faith ought to impact how we think about where we are, right? Jonah found himself in the belly of a fish, and his faith said that God answered his prayer and heard his voice. We've got to allow our faith to impact how we think about where we are and what we're dealing with even right now. Because if our faith doesn't impact how we think, then what does that mean about our faith? Like, if our faith doesn't actually make a difference in how we think when we go through these hard times, like, what does that actually say about our faith? What does that say about how we're walking with God? Like I would like to think that no matter what we go through, like, our faith ought to be able to dictate and determine how we feel in the midst of situations. Like, if the promises of God are yes and amen, no matter what's going on, then even if we go through hard times, we ought to be able to stand up in that. And that doesn't mean that life is always easy, but it does mean that we ought to be able to have that courage and have that strength and to be able to move on, so we don't have to be taken over just because we find ourselves in stressful situations. See, the problem is the opportunity. This is the opportunity that we have to see God move in a way that he never has before. Like, for example, you might have friends of yours that you maybe you've invited to a worship service for years. And for whatever reason, they might not want to walk into a church building, but they might be very willing to open up a Facebook post or to log on to YouTube. You have an opportunity now to minister to people in ways that you never have before. We all have opportunities to do this, ways to connect with people even though we're not allowed to physically touch. There are so many ways that we can spiritually touch the people around us. The problem is the opportunity. For example, just look at the fact of where you're sitting right now. Like, some of you would look at this and say, oh, well, this doesn't even feel right. It doesn't even seem right. Like, just sitting here on my couch, like, and just watching a sermon online, it just there's something wrong about it. But what if the problem is the opportunity? Like, what if God is actually trying to speak something into your life right now? And in this moment, you have the opportunity to say, I'm either going to be distracted by everything that isn't right around me, or I'm going to let God change my life. The problem is the opportunity, and you are sitting in the middle of your opportunity right now. Jesus Christ died on a cross that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could be set free from sin and death, and we don't have to be in what we would consider normal in order to receive the gift of forgiveness and the gift of grace and the gift of love that Jesus has for us. Our faith ought to impact how we think, even in these moments, even where we are. See, the truth is that God is able. He's able to do anything and everything, all for His glory. In John chapter 11, John chapter 11 and verse 32, Jesus was called upon by Mary and Martha and some others to come see Lazarus, because Lazarus was ill. And when Jesus heard about this and was told to come and to heal Lazarus, he actually stayed where he was for a couple of days, like intentionally. And then eventually he got around to showing up. And we see in John chapter 11, starting in verse 32, says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, just take this in for a moment. Jesus could have gotten there in time to heal him before he died, but he took a couple of extra days, and Lazarus dies. Now, the faith that Mary had, just simply to say, if you would have been here, he would still be alive today. Like, that is an amazing expression of faith, but that is not where Jesus wanted to leave things. If you skip down to verse 39, it says, it says, take away the stone. This is Jesus talking. Take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. I'm sorry. He's been there 4 days. Verse 40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? See, we cannot miss what God is doing just because we're watching the news. See, that's what happened. You have Mary and Martha, and they're watching what's going on with Lazarus, right? They see their brother is sick. They see that he is dying, and they have all the faith in the world in Jesus, but Jesus is not showing up, and they don't understand. But when Jesus finally gets there, even though they're crushed by the fact that their brother is dead, they still go to Jesus, and they express their faith in him, and just, oh, if you have been here, I know he'd still be alive today. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Like, I still have a miracle in this. See, Mary and Martha were watching the news, and the news said that Lazarus was dead. But then Jesus showed on up and said, no, he was dead, but he's coming back to life. See, church, I need you to recognize today that no matter what the news says, Jesus is here to bring some things back to life, even in you. Like, there are some things that need to change, and some strongholds that need to be broken down, and some wounds that need to be healed. And I just want you to know today that He can do all of that. And it's never too late. And you don't have to be in a building to get that healing. And you don't have to be around other people to get that restoration. You don't have to be in what you would consider to be the right setting to be forgiven and set free from everything that happened in your life. You can get that right here, right now. See, the Lord reassured me earlier this week that there are a lot of things that I don't need to be the church. Like, for example, and let me say that differently. There is a lot of things that God doesn't need in order for us to be the church. We don't need a building in order for us to be the church. We don't need to be in the same room in order for us to do the work of the church. We don't have to be on the same schedule or in our common routines in order for the church to be able to do the mighty, miraculous work of God here on this earth. Like, we don't have to be in a class to be able to learn from God's Word. We don't have to be in a large gathering in order to worship together. Like, we don't have to have small talk in order to have fellowship. Like, we don't even really need the internet. What we really need is to be moved by God's Holy Spirit on our lives. What we really need is to trust that Jesus is our Savior. What we really need is to believe that He did die on a cross, that He lived a perfect life and died a perfect death, that He rose again in order that we might be set free and forgiven and made whole. See, what we need in order to be the church is to pray like everything depends on us and to have faith like everything depends on Him. What we need to be the church is to be personally diligent about seeking God, even if we're in environments that might seem a little different than how we normally seek God. What we need in this time to be the church is to call each other and to text each other and to check in on one another and to make sure that nobody gets left behind on this, to show love to God and to show love to one another, to actually ask significant questions to others, not just, hey, how are you? Great, fine, then we'll talk to you tomorrow. But like, actually ask some significant, like spiritually significant questions to really know how people are really doing. Church, we find ourselves in an amazing opportunity right now where we can allow the Spirit of God to move in a way that we have never seen before. We are on the verge of revival here right now, but we have to let ourselves be on the verge of revival here right now. We have to let ourselves engage what God is doing in us, and we have to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I see around me right now. The only thing that matters is that God is able, and He's speaking into my life, and I don't know what it looks like for me to respond by faith, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to respond by faith. I'm going to trust God with my whole life. Because if I don't, because there's no other option. There's no other option. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Church, I want to encourage you today. Let your thinking be impacted by your faith in God. He's the only one who's going to be able to get us through. Now, for those of you who are watching this even now, who maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus before. Maybe this is all kind of a new concept for you. Well, first of all, I want to encourage you. There's actually, you can go to our website or even through Facebook or YouTube. You can comment there and just ask to speak with a pastor. We'd love to follow up with you and talk more with you about what it would look like to really live a life of faith and have that faith and not have to let stress and depression take you over, but to actually live in such a way that you can be confident in what God is doing in your life. What I want you to do today is not just receive the fact that God is with you, but I want you to really think about what is one thing you can do today, right now, to respond by faith in God. What is one faith step that you can take today? And I want you to talk with whoever you might be there with. Maybe you're just watching this by yourself. I want you to call somebody or text somebody and say, hey, I just watched this video. Pastor told me I was supposed to call somebody. Here's how I'm calling somebody. Tell somebody what's one thing you can do today, right now, to take that first step of faith toward God. Maybe it's leaving a comment, asking to speak with somebody. Maybe it's just getting on your knees and praying right now. Maybe it's opening a Bible and reading it for the first time. Whatever that step is, I want you to know God is able to work in your life even right now. Let Him work, and you'll see Him do the impossible for you.